I got to know a man some 21 years ago, and he was originally from down around the Midlands in England. And he was at a time involved with some kind of outreach program that was associated with the Church of England way back in the 1950s and the 1960s. And he told me that he had been involved in the setting up of two mission stations in Alaska. He said it was a very challenging endeavor for everyone that was willing to help there, but there was a ready and a willing group of people who went out there and built the housing that they needed. And then there was the need of constant supplies for the little band, just a little number of people who were staying there in those mission stations in Alaska and using them as outreach posts to people, I believe, in the very rural area there. Now, there were certain times when coming to the mission station or going away from it was impossible because of the weather. When storms would come at a certain time of the year, he told me that all the roads, any roads that there were completely blocked, and any airstrip that had been there was totally unworkable. So they had to have all of the food stuff and all of the medical stuff that they might need. That had to be there before the winter storms came along, because when the weather came along in all of its severity, it literally brought all activity at the little mission stations to a halt. Therefore, getting the necessities to those mission stations on time was absolutely vital. And tonight you've read these words, it may seem strange, from the Apostle Paul. Do thy diligence to come before winter, where he lived. We always think of hot weather, but in the winter time, especially at night, it could be very severe indeed. And as I thought of these words, do thy diligence before winter, I actually looked up the word winter, and the word winter there means storm or tempest. So it's do thy diligence to come before the storm or the tempest. And many times when I've looked at this, I've thought of a gospel application. I've never preached from it before, but I thought of a gospel application. And tonight, we've given the title to the message, There's a Storm Approaching. There's a storm approaching. Thinking of those words, do thy diligence to come before winter. As we look at the storm approaching, I want you to notice, first of all, a pressing request. The apostle had asked Timothy to do several things, to bring the parchments and books and so on with him. But then it's as though this particular request stands out as key to so many other things. When he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. As we mentioned there, the winter here, and when it got cold, it could be surprisingly uncomfortable during the times of the storms. And in general, conversation with men and women, whether it's in Achillea or Belfast or Lisburn or any other part of the world, when you meet with them, there is a general response when you speak about the gospel. And in that general response, there are some things you note when you're speaking to individuals. You will speak to them and you will impress upon them the importance of coming before the storm of God's judgment comes. The importance of getting to Christ and being saved. First of all, sometimes there is awareness. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 26. And here the apostle is being dragged before King Agrippa. He has been given the opportunity in Acts chapter 26 to defend his preaching and to show how he is preaching for the betterment of his fellow man, that he's trying to help people, and that's what he wants to do. He says in verse 3 that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first, the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He's speaking in his preaching of Christ's substitutionary death, how he would die for all those who would ever trust him and bear the wrath of God for our sin. There's substitution, but then there's resurrection, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. He was raised again, the Bible says, for our justification, and should show light on to the people and to the Gentiles. There was substitution, resurrection, and presentation. It seems very simple. And that's what he was talking about whenever he had come before King Agrippa. And whenever he was brought before Festus and brought in before the king then, he says in verse 26, for the king knoweth these things. Isn't that amazing? You see those words? And the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. Then in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets, or the part of the Old Testament that they had at that time? Do you believe it? And then he says there, I know that thou believest. Here's a man, folks. He was aware of everything that Paul was preaching about. He had heard about the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross. He had heard about his glorious resurrection for the justification of his people. And he'd heard about the presentation of the gospel, that men are called to repentance and to turn away from their sin and embrace the Savior. He was aware. I was talking to a couple of people this week on a text, just texting each other, and there was one of them who lost a loved one during the week. It was like a second cousin type thing to them, only it was the older generation than them. But this man told me that he had been trying to witness during the funeral time to the son of the person who passed away. Lovely person, very kind, and a hard worker, and a very, very nice person to know. Hard against the gospel. But then he finished off in the text with these words: he is very aware of the way. He is very aware of the way. And so are many people in Northern Ireland. We can say of them, as it could be said of that man, or as the Apostle Paul said here, the writer said concerning King Agrippa, none of these things are hidden from thee. And do you believe the Bible? I know that you believe it. There was an awareness, and men and women tonight, is that an awareness that you have? Are you aware of that the Bible teaches, the necessity of a Redeemer and the substitutionary work of Christ and his resurrection and the presentation of the gospel which calls all men to repent? We're thinking here of the pressing request, do thy diligence to come before winter. Come now before the storm comes. Because when the storm of God's wrath falls, then it's too late. Some people there's awareness. With other people there's an acknowledging. We read about the thief on the cross. One of the thieves on the cross, when he rebuked the other thief, and he assured him that they were on the cross justly because of the way that they lived, but that Christ was innocent. An acknowledging of their own unworthiness. I may have shared with you before the little story of one of my uncles, which when I was wee, he actually phoned me one time, and he was Santa Claus on the phone, and for about, I don't know, many years, I kept thinking about it. He sounded so like him, as far as I was concerned. But I was quite close to this uncle, and me and him used to hang about when I was about 4 or so, and used to go and watch wrestling with him, and I would sit up beside him on the seat watching wrestling, and I stayed at my granny's. And then whenever I fell asleep, him or my granny would have put me down the bed. But you know, later on, after I had got saved, he said, you know, we would all do well to go away and get ourselves converted to Christ. You see, he acknowledged he needed a Savior. He knew about sin. But men and women, he never did. He never did. There was an acknowledging there of his need, and it is a great thing to be aware that Christ has provided a way of salvation for us. It is another step when we acknowledge our own personal need, but we can't stop there. And some don't, because sometimes there is an awakening. Over in the book of Jonah, Jonah was going to preach at Nineveh. He didn't like the people, and on a human level, he had reason to not be particularly interested in them. They were very, very severe on his own people. And he eventually, in chapter 3, went to preach the gospel in the great city of Nineveh. And in verse 4 it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" There's the preaching. They began to preach to these people who were in darkness and who had been so brutal towards his own people. But then there's the peace, because it says in verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them, from the palace to the dungeon." Men and women were being awakened to their need of Jesus Christ, and they were listening to what Jonah was saying. And they were saying, "That's the message for me. This man Jonah, he's not one of us. He's an outsider, but what he is saying is a message for my heart. It's what I need to hear." And they believed the word and they received it to the salvation of their souls. Across Ulster tonight, there's the odd one. There's the odd one that is coming and seeking the Lord. "Pressing request, do thy diligence to come before winter." With some people there's an awareness. With other people there's even an acknowledging. With a few people there's awakening. But I fear tonight that with many people there's an avoidance. Over there in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. Luke's Gospel chapter 19. And it's the verse 14. It says there, the Lord Jesus, again, has been speaking to the people. And here is their response. Here's the response of people who listened to a man who cared more for them than anyone else ever will. They said, "We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man to reign over us." If you look with me there in verse 27, as it says, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." People who are avoiding God's salvation, walking away from what the Lord would say to them. And I want to say tonight that every family circle connected with this congregation, every single family connected with it, has people out there, have some who are there right now. And the cry of their heart is, "We will not have this man to reign over us. It will cramp our lifestyle. It means too much change. And we don't want anyone there that we are under authority to." The Bible says, folks, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so when we preach the gospel, there is that pressing request that men would turn to the Lord. Are you aware of your sin? Are you aware of Calvary? Of the cross? Of Christ's finished work there? Do you acknowledge you're a sinner? And you need the Savior? Have you avoided the issue? Or is God speaking to your heart in a way that he did to the people at Nineveh? And showing you your great need? And having you see as never before that Christ is the answer? Men and women, the repressing request, remember, "Do thy diligence to come before winter," because there's a storm approaching. And there's a storm approaching for all of those who do not know the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 31, "He," that is God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. I wonder what you've done with that request. What will you do with it? Even tonight. There's a pressing request here, but you will notice when you look at it there again, there is a particular requirement. Because when Paul is speaking to Timothy, he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. So when he's speaking to young Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, you need to take steps now. You need to move now. And I mentioned to you those mission stations. Those wishing to supply those mission stations had to pull out all the stops and get moving if the long term weather forecast give storms, because when the storm come, they wouldn't be getting there. Unsafe man or woman, your case is urgent. I wonder, have you given to your own case consideration and maybe even regret about life in the past? But that's not enough. You must come. That is the Bible's word to men and women in their unsafe state. The particular requirement is that you need to come to the Lord. Now, I want to say first of all that some need to come down. And I'm speaking here about pride. It seems to me in these days that pride in the heart of man, if so many is holding them back from the Lord, the Pharisees in the Bible, they thought they had it all. And that they were no miss. And they had it all worked out. And there was no one like them. But over there in Luke's Gospel 18, we're reading of the two people, the Pharisee and the publican. The publican was the sinner. It says there in those verses, verse 11 of Luke 18, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, pride had this man fast bound. He felt that there was nothing wrong with him because he couldn't get over himself. That was simply it. And then it says about the publican, the other man, and the publican standing afar off. And you see, that is where the sinner is. He's afar off. Here's a man, and he accepted that there was distance between him and God. The Pharisee didn't. He was too proud. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And the call tonight is, if we feel we're good enough, the call is to come down. To come down from our pride. But there's also the call to come up. If you look with me there in what it says in Psalm number 40, Psalm 40, the psalmist here is speaking of the Lord's dealing with him, and yet it's so applicable to those who are not saved. He says here in verse 2, he brought me also up out of an horrible pit. Means the pit of noise. Not like the world with all its calls for your attention and your allegiance. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. What need there is pictured here. The miry clay is something that clings to you. And you can't drag yourself out of it. Here's a man, or a picture of a man, who is stuck and he is sinking. And then God's grace reached him, and it was God's grace that lifted him up. Lifted him right up out of his sin and set his feet upon the rock. The rock there means a great craggy rock. Same word that is used in reference to Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church. And folks, there's a coming down, then a coming up. But folks, you need to come just as you are now. You can't go and tidy yourself up as far as your life is concerned. You come just as you are now. And that is an invitation from the Lord Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that labor, that are under the weight of sin, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There is a wee hall just up at a place called Salter's Grange. It's just a little hallway up a laneway, tiny little hall. And I remember a person who played at the mission there in, it was 1985. And at that mission, Len Pickering was the preacher. Now, some of you, if you knew of Len Pickering, he was a very nice man who went around walking around the country because he didn't drive. And he called the people, and people liked him because he was sincere and he had an interest in people's souls. And they came along to the mission because he asked them to. And Len Pickering, by his own admission, Len Pickering was not a preacher. He did say, yes, he did preach sometimes himself, but he would say, I am no preacher. But he invited people along. And at that little mission, with Len Pickering running it, up in that hall, many times when I drive past it, I think, in that 1985 mission, there were men and women who come to Christ just as they were. In the evening time, they made their way along, up to the hall, and they listened to the word. And if it wasn't Len talking to them, it was, he very often had other preachers nearly every night. And as they listened to the word, they recognized the messages for them, and they come. They didn't just listen, but they come to him. I have another thought here. There is the pressing request, a particular requirement, but there is the possibility of ruin. Possibility of ruin. He says there, do thy diligence to come before winter. Come before winter. In other words, the weather would be something that would eventually hinder and cancel everything. And folks, when you look at this verse, there's this verse in 2 Timothy 4, it screams out, now is the accepted time. Set aside the prejudices. Set aside the barriers and the and any worries you have, and you need to come while you can. There are so many who have thought about it, so many who have talked about it, and have never really taken on board that very often there's a calm before the storm. The calm is now in the day of opportunity. And folks, the storm is coming. Some years ago, I think the city was Munich, where there was an art gallery, and there was a painting in the art gallery, and it showed what seemed to be like a hamlet situation, and there were trees that were all bent over in the wind, and there was various pieces of furniture or whatever blowing about, and there were men and women who were leaning into the wind, and they were doing their best to go forward, but the wind was against them, and they were making their way to shelter. And it is said that with that painting, there was a verse of scripture written, and it was Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, and the verse 2. It was a reference to Christ. It said, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. What a great verse to have there. And what a great verse to think of as we come to the end of the message about the storm is approaching. Remember what we said, the word winter there means storm or tempest. And we believe tonight that this is a message which is very applicable to all who are not saved. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Really, the verse is saying, you need to come to Christ now, because now is the accepted time. Do thank you for listening. We trust the Lord will bless his word. We're going to just bow together now.